trust that that video was a blessing to you this morning. Let's go ahead and begin with our scripture reading for this morning. We'll be reading out of Proverbs 31. Take your Bibles, open up to Proverbs 31. Let's go ahead and read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 10. You join me on verse 11. We'll read through the end of the chapter. Speaking of the virtuous woman, the godly woman. So Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. For the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hand holds the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates while he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We'll be taking a look at verses from this passage. We're not going to work through the whole thing. I wanted to read one other verse as we begin. Psalm 113, verse 9 saith this, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. You know, a godly woman is many things to many people. She's a daughter-in-law, a Christian, a wife, a worker, a friend, a sister, an aunt, a cousin, a leader, a follower, a counselor, a doctor and nurse, a cook, a maid, a missionary of many, and she has many relationships and is truly the unique, ultimate jack of all trades. You know, a mother's job is one of the hardest, but one of the most important. It is the least appreciated callings that you will find. The hours are never ending, the work is intense, and the encouragement is often lacking. But what a rewarding calling it actually is. To be trusted by the Lord to raise and mold a person that has been created in his own image. So with the ultimate goal of bringing out that image within that person. We first look at her primary objectives. Her objectives are just as any other Christian, to glorify God and to keep his commandments. But it is also to bring her children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to be all that she can be personally in and for the Lord. You know, mothers have a unique position of influence. Theodore Roosevelt said, the mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. George Washington said, the greatest teacher I ever had was my mother. Thomas Edison said of his mother, she cast over me an influence which has lasted all of my life. And Abraham Lincoln said, the greatest lessons I ever learned were at my mother's knees. All of these great men of our country attribute their success to their mothers. And we could say the same of all of Christianity. That it's that God uses mothers as a unique asset to influence their own children. So let's look at the godly mother's mission this morning. She is a missionary to men for God to bring about their greatness. First, we understand that she is to represent her Creator. She is to represent her Creator. In order to be godly, you have to represent someone who you actually know personally. In Proverbs 31, verse 30, it says, "A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." In order to be a godly mother, you must know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And once you do, then you are able to show the love of God to others. A mother is sweet, but also stern. She also shows the law of God. She knows what is right and what is wrong. She is the one who directs those in her family to do that which is right and stay away from that which is wrong. She is also to show the light of God. She is the one who oftentimes has the opportunity to light the way to salvation for her children. Which brings us to our second point. She is to represent her Creator, but she is also to raise her children. Look at verse 26 and 28 in our passage, Proverbs 31. Verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." If you read the book of Proverbs, it's written from a father to a son, and oftentimes he calls his son to follow the wisdom and the knowledge of his parents, of his father and of his mother. And here we understand that the mother is the one who one of the ones who, when she opens her mouth, she passes on wisdom, and she has in her tongue the law of kindness. Look at verse 28. "As she does this, as time goes on, her children one day arise up and call her blessed." Because of the influence that a mother has over the children and over the household, her husband also calls her blessed, and he praiseth her. As she is called to raise her children, we understand from Proverbs 22, verse 6, it calls us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 29, 15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." As mothers, as a godly mother, one of your goals, one of your missions is to meet the needs of your children. We understand often that means meeting their physical needs, providing them with food, with clothing, with medical care, with teaching them about personal hygiene, about monetary things, and training them for a living in the world. We also understand that also means meeting their soulful needs, their mental, their emotional needs. They're teaching them about relationships and their self-understanding. The idea there is helping them understand who God would have them to be in this world. It was once written, "Who ran to help me when I fell? Who ran to help me when I fell? And would some pretty story tell? Or kiss the place to make it well, my mother." You know, our mothers are ones who meet those emotional needs. Dads sometimes can be distant or harsh or rough around the edges, but a mother is the one who can come in and meet those mental and emotional and relational needs. But then they're also to meet spiritual needs. They're to teach their children the scriptures. They're to exhibit a prayer life in front of their children as well as with their children, fostering that personal relationship with God through Bible reading and through prayer. And also is often the one who shows them the way of salvation. Children look to their parents and specifically their mothers for instruction. Someone once said, mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of little children. And God has given you that special opportunity to be able to do that. She is to represent her Creator. She's to raise her children. She is also to render to her husband. To render to her husband. First, she is to render his rightful place as head of the household. Under God's plan, you cannot have a mother without first having a wife. And Scripture says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, men, this doesn't mean that we can lord our position over our wives. It goes on to tell us that men, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That means that that's a sacrificial thing. It's not something that we can, we're not the boss of her. It just means that we have different roles within the economy of the household. And God has given men the opportunity, but also the responsibility to be the one who is the head. And the wife is to submit to that authority. She is also to render him the rightful place of respect. He should feel like he is the most special person in the world to you. Ephesians 5:33 goes on to say, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. So there's our mandate, men. But then it goes on, and the wife see that she reverence her husband, that she gives him the honor and the respect that he deserves in his role. Now, he might not act like it. He might not be. His actions may make that difficult. And I pray that through the work of God, the Holy Spirit in his life, that may change if that's the case. But just like I can disagree with the President of the United States, I still render respect to that office, to that position, regardless of whether or not I agree with him. She's also to render to him his rightful place. First in intimacy, 1 Corinthians 7:3 tells both men, husbands and wives, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. For the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. The idea here is that our bodies are not our own. When we join into the marriage relationship, that I no longer have claim to this body. I cannot, it actually belongs to my wife. When we come together and the two are made one, I belong to her and she belongs to me. But she's also to give the rightful place of influence. Look at verse 11 in our passage, Proverbs 31. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Then skip down to verse 23. And her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders in the land. Do you realize that often, because of our wives, men, that we have a greater influence than what we would on our own? It says here that he trusts in her. He does not lord his position over her. He trusts in her to make decisions regarding the home, to make decisions regarding the things that she's responsible for. He does safely trust in her so that he had no need for spoil. He doesn't have to go out and war against someone else to bring spoil in. She has everything taken care of. Because of her, he is a better man. It was once said, behind every great man is a great woman. Billy Sunday said, once said, Try praising your wife, even if it does frighten her at first. Men, if we trust in her and our position, how about we express that in words? We tell them, we encourage them in what they're doing. Do you realize that raising children is difficult? Men, how many of you would want to switch places, her go to work and you stay home with the children? I know one man who at one point in their married life, he ended up needing to do that. I can say that in my situation, that would be a very difficult thing for me. That I'd have a hard time doing that. But yet my wife does such a fantastic job. And we need to praise them. We need to tell them that. Not only does a godly mother represent her creator, she raises her children, she also renders to her husband, and then fourth, she remembers the needy. Part of the mission of the godly mother is to remember the needy. Look at verse 20 of our passage. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Yes, she does all sorts of things. She works very diligently, very hard for what she has, but yet she doesn't hoard it. She holds it with an open hand. She shows compassion on those around her. She shows care for the needy around her. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She also shows her honoring for her needy parents. Do you realize that three times in the Bible, we are told to honor our father and mother? Exodus 22, verse 12, it's repeated in Deuteronomy 5, 16. And then Paul reiterates it again in the New Testament in Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. And we often read these verses and apply them to our children. It begins, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Then in verse 2, it says this, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. But do you realize this doesn't only apply to our children as it regards us? As adults, we are still in a position where we have the opportunity to honor our own parents, to be done with caring for them as they get older and they have more needs, doing more to meet those needs. And then the godly mother also shows her kindness toward all creation. She shows her kindness toward all creation. And then fifth, we see that she is to rejuvenate herself. Do you realize that there is so much that goes on in our lives, and if we don't take time to rejuvenate our own selves, that we become burnt out? We get to a point where the tank is empty. We have to fill that back up. I can remember a time I used to, when I was in late high school, my parents bought me a 1965 Mustang. And I can remember a time when that Mustang always needed work to be done. And there was a time when the gas gauge wasn't working correctly. Some days I'd go out and I'd start the car and it'd pop up and it'd show me how much gas was in the tank. Other times it'd just be on E no matter what. Well, I got to where I was clocking it by the odometer. I knew about how many miles I could go on a tank of gas, and I thought I was good, and I was driving down the road and it started to sputter, and I knew exactly what happened. I had miscalculated. I had gotten to the end and that tank was empty. And it left me stranded on the side of the road. Do you realize that as a mother, if you don't take time to rejuvenate yourself, that you get to a point where you have nothing to give to those around you? Part of the mission of a godly mother is to rejuvenate herself first through her relationship with God. Don't allow the busyness of life to cause you to neglect your relationship with Him. take the time necessary, even if it's just a few minutes, to read a few verses out of God's Word, to pray and pour your heart out to Him. She also needs to take some time to herself, just a time away. And men, we can help with that. Offer to take the children and watch the kids so she can go and have some quiet time of her own. And then she also needs to rejuvenate herself by taking care of herself. And this I'm referring to all aspects of life, physically. Getting the exercise necessary to have a healthy lifestyle. Mentally, getting mentally rejuvenated. And for everybody, that tends to be something different. Whether it's a hobby or spending time with other godly friends away from your children. And emotionally, taking care that you don't get to the point where you're running on empty. She's to rejuvenate herself. She also is to remold herself. Do you realize that godly mothers are not born, they're made? Just like all Christians are molded into the image of Christ, a godly mother is molded to the image of Christ. She remolds herself first through studying God's Word, through applying the things she sees there into her own life, but then she also remolds herself by pouring herself into her children and into her daughters in the home and into her sons to help mold them into godly young men that will serve God. She also remolds herself by pouring herself into other young ladies in the church. Titus 2 verse 3 talks of this. It talks of the aged women. It says the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, that's serious minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you realize that as we get older, part of our responsibility of age is that we would take the things of God and pass them to the next generation? Mothers and grandmothers, I ask you, is there someone you can reach out to and encourage? Young mothers, is there someone you could reach out to and seek to gain wisdom from an older lady who has been where you've been, who has gone through what you have gone through? That is part of the work of the church, that we edify one another, that we seek out those who we can learn from and those who we can teach. And finally, the godly mother is to reach the world for Christ. Now, I know that's a big job, and that's a job that all of us as believers are called to. But a godly mother, that is a part of her mission. She's to witness where she is, as she's with her children and takes them to the park. I know we're social distancing right now, but hopefully that will be lifted soon. When she's out in the stores reaching out, giving a word of encouragement, giving a word of testimony to those she comes in contact with, inviting people to church. A godly mother is also to support those who do go out, to pray for those that she knows are out witnessing to others. And then she is also raising up fellow laborers, understanding that these little children, these young people that she's raising up to live godly lives, that the idea is that those young people would grow up and become fellow laborers in Christ. Dr. Charles Dickens tells of a man who stopped at a flower shop to have flowers wired to his mother 200 miles away. As he left the shop, he noticed a little girl sobbing on the curb in front of the shop. When he inquired what was wrong, she explained that she wanted to buy a rose for her mother, but it cost $2 and she only had 75 cents. He bought the rose for the little girl and offered to drive her home. She agreed if he would also take her to her mother. She directed him to a cemetery where she placed the rose on a freshly dug grave. After he drove her home, the man returned to the flower shop, canceled the order, and instead he got into his car, drove the 200 miles to his mother's home, and personally delivered the bouquet of flowers. You know, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I understand that there may be some that view this day with both joy but also heartache. Either because your home situation wasn't ideal, there wasn't a good relationship with your mother, or your mother has gone on to be with the Lord. She's passed on, and so this day is a day of mixed feelings. But may we cherish our mothers, those who are still alive, but also cherish the memory of those who have gone on before. Understanding that God is the one who brought them into our life, and he uses their influence in our lives to make us who we are today. And for those of you who are mothers, may I encourage you to continue in the work that God has given you to do. May you allow him to work in you and use you to be a blessing to those in your home. And I want to say thank you to all of you who do just that for your family and for those you come in contact with. That you are diligent in the work that God has given you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we set aside to honor the mothers that you have given us, the parents who have so faithfully raised us. And Lord, as we look in your word and see the mission of a godly mother, Lord, may we take these things to heart. May the women of our church grow closer to you, understanding the mission that you have given them to do. And Lord, I thank you for the examples of godly mothers within the scriptures that can stand and be an example to each mother here today. Lord, I thank you for the mother that you've given me. I thank you for the influence that she had upon my life. How you intervened in her life, saved her, and then she was continually and still is a godly example. Lord, may the ladies of our church continue to seek to worship you and to serve you in all that they do. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you for your time this morning. I thank you for your attentiveness. If you have any questions or would like to talk further, you can reach out to me at pastor@hbcelmira.org. That's pastor@hbcelmira.org.